the toy. The headline read, "Scientists trace heat wave to massive star at center of solar system." Here's the story, datelined Pasadena, California. Groundbreaking new findings announced Monday suggest the record-setting heat wave plaguing much of the United States may be due to radiation emitted from an enormous star located in the center of the solar system. Scientists believe the star, which they have named G2V65, may in fact be the same bright yellow orb seen arcing over the sky day after day, and given its extreme heat and proximity to the Earth, it is likely not only to have caused the heat wave, but to be responsible for every warm day in human history. Our measurements indicate the massive amount of energy this thing gives off is able to travel 93 million miles and reach our planet in as little as 8.5 minutes, said Professor Mitch Kivens, an astronomer at the California Institute of Technology. While we can't see them, we're fairly certain these infrared rays strike Earth's surface, become trapped by the atmosphere, and just heat up everything like a great big oven. We originally thought that if this star was producing temperatures of 100 plus in the South and Midwest, it must be at least 100 degrees itself, Kivens added. But it turns out it's far, far hotter than that, with a surface temperature of nearly 10,900 degrees Fahrenheit. Kivens and his Caltech colleagues said this intense radiation, which results from constant nuclear reactions converting hydrogen to helium in the star's core, could also account for why the orb in the sky is extremely bright and difficult to stare at directly. While scientists initially assumed the heat and luminescence of the star must make it the largest in the universe, a theory lent credence by the star appearing much bigger than other objects in the sky, they said the data actually appear to refute such a notion. Apparently, it's gigantic simply because it's closer to us than any other star, Kivens said, which would account for why we feel this particular star's heat during the day, but are not warmed by the tiny blinking stars we see at night. It's interesting stuff, he added. For those of you who are out of the loop, this article is from The Onion, touted on their website as America's finest news source. I have to agree. Back when I lived in New York, the free paper had to be the most enlightened rag in the business. I mean, consider past headlines like these. Pesky Canada has its own government and laws. Death Star to open daycare center. Special Olympics fixed. And Clinton breaks off talks with Carpetland. They're always up on breaking stories of the times. Here are some recent ones. GOP supports Obama for 2012. Quote, "We need more time to completely ruin his life," unquote. And USSR wins space race as US shuts down shuttle program. And how about Congress passes first law in U.S. history that doesn't somehow kill tens of thousands of ducks? The Onion is not afraid to highlight stories of us little folks sacrificing some valuable front-page real estate normally reserved by most papers for serial killers, movie stars, and politicians. Here, for example, is a piece from the July 16, 2011 issue titled, "Little Clay Thing Bought at Arts Festival, Eugene, Oregon." A small, somewhat spherical clay thing with various types of decorations on it was purchased Friday at the 9th Annual Eugene Arts Festival, sources confirmed. The clay thing, which was covered in some sort of shiny glaze, was selected from a local artist's table that consisted of a number of smaller and larger clay things, the majority of them also round. Reports indicated that in addition to the clay things, the display also included woven things, Native American things, and various hemp pouch things. The little clay thing was purchased for $7. "This is nice," the clay thing's new owner John Tafferty said of the solid 2-pound object, which had been molded together to vaguely form a face, or possibly an ashtray. "I like this one a lot." "It's neat," he added. According to witnesses, Tafferty stared at and held a number of clay things before deciding on the little one he eventually purchased. Sources confirmed Tafferty was torn between two clay things, one with predominantly red paint on it and the other with blue paint. Tafferty ultimately settled on the blue-colored clay thing. "This was a good find," Tafferty said while holding the thing that has a couple of tiny holes in it but apparently is not a whistle. "I was thinking about buying one of the bigger ones for $20, but I figured that was a little too steep. I'm happy with this. You're listening to My Two Cents on KLOI 102.9 FM Lopez Island, with a few stories from the periodical of parody and persiflage, The Onion. All this is not to say that The Onion shies away from those big news stories. Consider this headline, which hardly needs a story to flesh it out. China agrees to erase portion of U.S. debt if Americans dress up in costumes and perform silly dances for them. This engaging article wraps up with a finish worthy of the Alfred E. Newman Journalism Award. Although any U.S. citizen is eligible to participate in the program, dances performed by members of the armed forces or practitioners of Tibetan Buddhism will be considered more valuable. Persons holding high office in the federal government stand to make the largest financial impact, especially, Hu said, if all 535 members of Congress perform a Yiddish bottle dance during his next state visit. I do not savor what I'm going to do this evening, said a solemn President Obama, sitting at his Oval Office desk in the tiger-striped scoopneck he will wear for a salsa performance expected to cut the American debt by a whopping $30 billion. I know that my partner, Speaker Boehner, shares my reluctance, but that we will both do what we must for the financial well-being of our country. But let me be clear, added a defiant Obama, the beads on his lacy sleeve jiggling as he emphatically pointed to the camera. The United States will never dance for any nation on earth more than once. There will be no encore. And The Onion isn't just about America, either. Their international coverage has no equal. Here's an example, entitled Vatican Reverses Stance on Gay Marriage After Meeting Tony and Craig. Vatican City, in a stunning and unexpected reversal of long-standing doctrine, Pope Benedict XVI proclaimed the Roman Catholic Church's unequivocal support for gay marriage Tuesday, just hours after meeting Stonington, Connecticut couple Tony Ruggiero and Craig Housinger. The papal decree, which authorizes priests to administer the sacrament of holy matrimony to same-sex partners, and explicitly states that, quote, homosexual relations between two consenting adults is not and never has been a sin, unquote, was reportedly a direct result of the Pope sharing an afternoon of engaging conversation and hearty laughter with a gay couple. Not only are Tony and Craig complete sweethearts, but anyone who spends more than 2 minutes with them can see they're clearly perfect for each other, said Benedict, who in the past has described homosexual behavior as a grave disease that threatens all of humanity. They're fun, gracious, and simply wonderful company, and you can tell they have something special just by the way they look at each other. They're soulmates, really, added the Pope, smiling. Allowing them to formalize their union in the church is the least we can do for them. And of course, with health on the minds of the aging baby boomer population, The Onion reports on new discoveries in the medical field, with headlines like this. New study shows people with panic disorders respond poorly to being locked in underwater elevators. Occasionally, however, some of the mainstream papers beat The Onion to the story. Consider these recent headlines. County to pay $250,000 to advertise lack of funds. Court rules boxer shorts are indeed underwear. And city unsure why sewer smells. This has been My Two Cents with a look at the satirical rag, The Onion. For more flagrant headlines and stories, go to theonion.com. Naturally, all opinions expressed here are those of the authors or of myself, and not KLOI or its parent organization, GIVE, which stands, by the way, for Gathering of Island Voices and Expressions. I'm John Waugh. For more information about Lopez Island's own radio station, KLOI, at 102.9 FM, go to kloi.org. You can check show schedules, stream the live feed, and that all-important feature for all volunteer struggling radio stations, donate using PayPal. We'll sail on till dawn, or at least to the end of my 10 minutes, on the wings of Iron Butterfly, continuing with Inagata da Vida. As Woody Allen said, is art a mirror of life or what?
Inagata da Vida, honey, don't you know that I'm loving you? Inagata da Vida, baby, don't you know that I've always been true?